Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Ron Connect, he's the Nevada State Controller. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, L.A. Lopez Bolin, James Smack, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
Hey, Romeo!
The Reno Rodeo. Come celebrate 99 years. It's a tradition. June 14th through the 23rd. Get your tickets today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program the Nevada State Controller, Ron Connect. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Sam, thank you very much.
It's always interesting to get your thoughts on the recent election. And in the primary, Dan Schwartz was definitely beaten down by Adam Laxalt. Any surprise there on your part?
Only by the margin. A number of us...
Do you think it was going to be bigger?
No, but at 9-1, it was a pretty big margin. Some good people had told Dan, if you could get to the primary, you might do better. Through the primary to the general, you might do better as the Republican candidate, but the problem is getting through the primary, and that turned out to be right on the mark.
You and Dan Schwartz have both combined during the last session to try and talk what you consider sense into the legislature, and it hasn't really gone anywhere. Do you feel that your portion of the Republican Party is disappearing at this point in time?
No, quite the contrary. We get the love from the base, especially me. There are people who keep telling me, you should be our next governor. And I said, well, as soon as somebody puts $5 million in my campaign account, we'll do that.
But isn't this the different? You know, this has been one of the things that's been going on in Nevada for as long as I can remember, which is that you have the Republican Party base, mm-hmm. And they have no connection to the people that actually elect the folks or put the money towards the folks that they eventually elect to be into office. And, you know, do you ever see that changing? You know, it seems like Mike Slanker has had the opposition party, not the Republican base.
Actually, I think it might be changing right now, Sam. Adam Laxalt is another favorite of the base. Bob Beers, Barbara Sagafsky, I think Wes is also going to become a favorite of the base.
That's Wes Duncan.
Yes, sir. So we now have a team, unlike last time, where the top of the ticket has the strong support and love of the base, and they're very enthusiastic. I agree with what you said about the history, and it has long pained me, but I think we've probably turned the corner.
Did you find it interesting that in the governor's race on the Democratic side, that Steve Sisolak won heavily in Clark County, but Chris Gee was the one that won heavily in Washoe County? And does that say that at this point, Washoe County, at least among the Democrats, is further to the left than Clark County is?
That well could be. I analogized the Sisolak-Chris Gee race to Hillary Clinton versus Bernie with role reversal by gender. Steve was essentially the Hillary candidate, and Chris was the Bernie candidate. Steve had the organization, the establishment behind him, and all the money, and Chris was the insurgent. And as she started coming up in the polls, Steve spent his whole $4 or $5 million wad pretty much, leaving only, what, one and a half or whatever. And the surprising thing, one thing is what you mentioned about the county by county split, including the whole Sierra Front. But the surprising thing at the end of the day was how effective Steve's spending was. The margin was much higher than people thought it would be. And his problem is, thank goodness, going into the general, Adams sitting there on four times as much as Steve has, and Steve's got to start raising money. But Adams doing a great job unifying and leading the party.
Yeah, but don't tell AFSCME that, because they're the ones that are putting money into Sisolak's campaign at this point in time.
Indeed. Right?
Okay, you escaped a primary opponent, but you'll be facing Catherine Bryan, a Democrat from
Byrne,
from Carson City. Now, she's a CPA, but she made headlines during the 2016 presidential campaign when she confronted or challenged Mike Pence his support of Trump at the time. Of course, he's the running mate.
Right.
About, you know, the Gold Star family, the family of Captain Khan, who died in Iraq. What do you think about this challenge from a Democratic CPA?
I think very simply, I'm going to run on my record. There are two or three parts of that I want to emphasize, and I will have nothing to say about Catherine's campaign. I want to point out that in terms of the ministerial functions, the back office functions, the nuts and bolts, we've done a great job, including on some accounting matters and others that I can go over. On the more political front, the transparency and accountability and that sort of thing, and saving money, we've done a great job. By we, I mean me and 40 other people in the controller's office. And frankly, I've done a pretty good job in the three boards and commissions on which I sit. I happen to have special qualifications for each of those. So I want to talk about what we've done, and if I'm reelected, we'll do the same in the next 4 years, and if not, well, there's somebody else on the ballot.
Well, Ron, I go way back with you, and I recall when you were the assemblyman for Carson City,
right?
A member of the GOP Assembly Caucus. As a former GOP Assembly Caucus member, how do you feel, what type of reception will brothel owner Dennis Hoff get when he gets to Carson City, assuming he'll win this race, which he probably will?
I agree with you, he probably will, and I think he's already getting a mixed reception. The people that I would call the establishment are trying to distance themselves from him. I think it was Michael McDonald, the state chairman, said very intelligently, we welcome good limited government conservatives to our party. We're happy he came over. So again, there's still this hangover of the base versus the establishment, but the base said he's running a legal business. He's doing good things for Nevada business and Nevada development, and he's got our views as limited government conservatives. So we may not patronize his establishments, but we'll welcome him.
Well, somebody's patronizing his establishments.
That's right.
Let's take a break. We'll be back more with the state controller, Ron Connect, after this timeout.
Tamara Cranberry Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ron Connect. He is the Nevada State Controller.
Ron, as you know, it's been suggested in the past that the Comptroller's Office and the Treasurer's Office be combined into one as part of a streamlining, saving money kind of idea. Is that a dead issue now, or have you heard anything about people still wanting to do that?
I think it's a dead issue. There was a fine gentleman who was trying to do that as state treasurer, and he's just a great guy, but he's retired. Nobody talks about that. I think one assemblyman talked about it, and he's now retired from the assembly, too. Having been doing this for 3 years, the difference in the chief fiscal officer and the chief investment officer is huge. There wouldn't be any particular gains economically to combining them. Mm-hmm. What you might gain by eliminating one of those two salaries, you'd actually pay more for a deputy to add to take care of that. So I don't see any real benefits to it. Not any savings, not any particular gains in terms of coordinating. Dan Schwartz and I coordinate really well. I think it's just a dead issue. Okay. It was an interesting thought.
All right. Let me ask you this. On your time in the Board of Regents, you were very influential. And when you look at the Board of Regents today and the whole Len Jessup story and the fact that we have donors who are withholding funds that they'd already committed to UNLV because they have concerns about longevity of the people in charge of both the university and the medical school. What do you make of all this? Because you've got Regents saying, we don't care about the donors. Yes. That seems kind of crazy to me when you're talking at this point around $38 million worth of cash that is not going to go to UNLV.
As Everett Dirksen would have said, you take $30 million here and $8 million there, and pretty soon it's real money. I'm sort of disappointed in the way things are going there. You may know that Allison Stevens, who served with me, is one of my best friends. And so I keep in touch with it through her primarily. It's sad and disappointing. One of the things I was proud of in 8 years on the board, and you're kind to say I was influential, but in 8 years on the board, we went from being a problem, a joke, et cetera, to being respected, to taking care of business, and now it seems there's a little backsliding there.
Let's get back to the election.
Okay.
What impresses me is the lineup that the Republicans have put together. Adam Laxalt does not have a lot of experience right. in politics, but you look at everybody else on the ticket, Bob Beers as treasurer, Barbara Sagaski as Secretary of State, Roberson as Lieutenant Governor, and, of course, Wes Duncan as the Attorney General. That seems like a murderer's row of political candidates when you consider the vast experience each one of those carries.
Gee, I couldn't have said it better. Can we get you to record?
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm just, you know, it's so obvious that that is a strong lineup. I can't think of a stronger lineup for constitutional officers that the Republicans have delivered or put up in the last 15, 20 years.
Well, we actually had an equally strong one 4 years ago. I mean, Dan Schwartz and I campaigned together as the financial team, and we both had lots of background. Now, of course, I've got 4 years as controller, three and a half now, and guess what? You learn a lot in the first 3.5 years on doing the job, and of course, Bob Beers has the best qualifications coming in as a freshman treasurer I've ever seen.
Well, he ran for governor in 06. He was a state senator and a assemblyman also.
And as you might imagine, Bob and I will be campaigning together as a team the way Dan and I did. We'll say essentially, we will take good care of your money.
What's the two differences between Beers and Schwartz?
Actually, Beers challenges me for the most across the board, reliable, limited government conservative in the party. And Dan and I were always frank with each other that he was more liberal in a current conventional sense, not in a classic sense. I'm a classic liberal. But we never had a problem working together because we both brought a lot of financial expertise and budget type expertise to the job. But Dan's more liberal than Bob.
Boy, and that's the quote of the day, and that's where we have to leave it. Ron Connect, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure with you, too. Thank you, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ray Hager is here along with Trey Abney, managing partner of the Abney Talking Group. James Smack is former Nevada Republican National Committeeman, and Ellie Lopez-Bolin is a community activist.
Ellie, let me start with you. Nationally, the big controversy right now is the Trump administration's policy of separating children from their parents when they try to cross illegally into the United States. What do you think of that?
I don't think it's a good idea, and I think that we've forgotten some rulings that protected the children, such as the Flores ruling many years ago that protected children and expedited their release from the centers. I was very taken this morning with two first ladies, the current one and Laura Bush, who came out and said that this was totally inhumane. Laura Bush almost identified it close to World War II and encampments for Japanese. Yes. So, and First Lady Trump refused to be separated from her son when her husband was elected. She stayed back in New York so as not to separate herself from her child. So whether you want to call it the Trump administration or whatever, it needs to be addressed by both parties, and that's what most people are saying.
All right, and so this is an issue for Congress initially, although the president can make an executive decision to tell the Department of Homeland Security, knock this off and stop it then. But what we really need is immigration reform, perhaps starting with DACA and then moving forward for more comprehensive immigration reform. But now the spotlight, in a way, these children are beneficial to the cause if you want to reform this, because every news organization in the country is down at the Texas border at these centers looking at the children, talking about the issue. The pressure on individual members of Congress has to be amazing at this point.
Well, I would hope so. The Congress hasn't done anything for 30 years on this topic. It has to be addressed. Now, the thing is, it's a little bit disingenuous. This is not new. This has been going on for a long time. It's been going on before Trump took office. And, you know, when I commit a crime, I'll be separated from my child as well, right?
Wait,
and
this policy began in April.
They have had children come to the border, unaccompanied minors, and unaccompanied minors with people that aren't their parents come to the border, and they have to hold them somewhere. And that's the problem. What do you do with all these folks? I think one side of the aisle just says let them wander free and walk around. I'm not sure that's a good idea either. You have to figure out, and then do you want children in the same encampments with other adults and adult males and all the kind of issues that can go with that? We have to have immigration reform, both on legal, to stem illegal immigration, but then to help legal immigration as well. It's an absolute mess, and hopefully this will wake up Congress.
And one of the things that Trey brings up here is that the smugglers, people who bring people across the border, are using this to their advantage.
Yeah. They likely are. They're likely going to be taking advantage of any opportunity they can to get the people they're trying to smuggle from point A to point B. That being said, I want to go back to the entire issue of immigration reform. Immigration is a winning issue for the side that decides they want to tackle it in this election. Neither side is really paying enough attention to it, I don't think.
Oh, they are today.
They may be right now with this particular issue and the discovery of this issue. But again, as Trey said, it's something that's been going on for a long time, dating back even before the Trump administration, that unaccompanied minors were obviously put into holding facilities and that type of thing in the past.
We're not talking about unaccompanied minors here,
right,
James?
Okay.
We're talking about children and their parents,
okay,
being separated,
or people saying they're their parents. That's another issue.
Yeah, but the comprehensive immigration reform needs to be addressed, and the president has made it clear that he is not going to be signing any immigration reform without funding for the wall. I agree with the wall. Disagree with the wall. Fine. Let's go ahead and fund the wall and get the immigration reform taken care of. But let's look at ways to make sure that immigration is easier. Right now, it is so difficult to go through the entire process of becoming a legal U.S. citizen through the immigration process. There should be ways where folks who want to come over here and work are able to get work permits and work cards and be able to get their identification and get a get a worker identification or something like that, and be able to do that in a matter of a couple hours without having to cross the border illegally and be able to do that.
James, you are doing something that is really bad in this discussion. You are exuding common sense.
I'm sorry.
Common sense has never been part of the immigration discussion in this country, at least not in the last 50 years.
No, it hasn't.
And every time that we try to do something with immigration reform, it takes anywhere from 7 to 9 years to get something accomplished, and then people spend the next 25 years decrying what was accomplished the last time around. So, you know, we can look at the situation. I think the best hope for any kind of immigration reform now, especially DACA right off the bat, but then potentially immigration reform, is if the pressure is kept up by the media being in Texas along the border and telling these stories that are horrifying the American people. And by the way, don't think for one second that Melania Trump is speaking in a vacuum.
No, she's not. And the E-Verify is coming up again, and we also need to hold accountable people who are hiring the illegals and deter that way, and not just deter by making an example of these people and ripping their children from them.
But one of the problems with E-Verify is not E-Verify itself, but the fact that corporations want cheap labor, and they don't want to have to deal with E-Verify because it brings along a whole host of other regulations that they have to comply with.
That's true. And if you go to any restaurant here, who's cooking your food, even your sushi, and it's Latinos. And so, you know, they want to work. So we need to find, like you said, a system.
Yeah, but not all Latinos that work in restaurants are here illegally.
No, they're not. I wasn't implying that.
Right, and that point is well made, and that's where we have to leave it, and there will be plenty more to come. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, Alexis Hansen. She's a Republican candidate for Assembly District 32 and wife of Ira Hansen. We'll see on the next broadcast.